Our scripture lesson is found in Matthew 12, 9-21. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it up? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." Then said he to the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus, when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and his name shall the Gentiles trust." A bruised reed and a smoking flax is rather deep for your understanding. The reed is used as a ruler. The Hebrews measure by the hand breadth, by the forearm cubit, and then for longer distance, maybe the reed will be 10 feet long. The reed grows out of the River Nile in those countries, and it has a long stem without leaves. So they make it as a measuring instrument. Now this reed is bruised or crushed, and it's very limp, but Jesus will not break it. A smoking flax refers to the wick of a lamp, and when the oil is running out, the light begins to flicker. Yet Jesus will not snuff it out, but he will still revive it, referring to his very merciful heart. The hard-headed Pharisee versus the soft-hearted Savior is our message today. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus corrects many of the wrong interpretations of the Pharisees and the lawyers. "Thou shalt not commit adultery," they interpret it, "so long as you are not caught. So long as it is known only to you. But if you are caught, then you are guilty." Now that is interpreting the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you have already committed adultery in your heart. And that's what Jesus said to correct their mistakes. Thou shalt not kill. But Jesus said, if you scold bad words, call people fool, and such words, you are in danger of the judgment. He takes the spiritual meaning as well as a literal. So when it comes to the Sabbath, you can be sure that the Jews were very wrong asking such a question, can we do good on the Sabbath day? Can we heal on the Sabbath day? And Jesus said, if you have a sheep fallen into the pit, and surely the pit is, the sheep is a pet, you love the sheep, you will not linger a moment, but will go and pull the sheep out of the pit. How much more is this man who has a withered hand, paralyzed? Now, if Jesus will not quarrel with them, then he'll wait on Monday. He'll wait on Sunday. It's a Sabbath day. He can wait until the next day to heal the man. But I tell you, when you are sick, sometimes you feel like dying. So sick, you cannot wait even for 5 minutes. Well, I speak from my experience. This morning I'm not feeling very well. And when I was in the throes of suffering, I had to call my wife. You wanted to be quickly healed. But Jesus stands on the principle of righteousness and truth. So he healed him. Stretch out your hand. And he was healed. And the Pharisees and the lawyers, oh, they hated Jesus in the heart. They held a council to kill him, to destroy him. Think of that, when he did good. One reason given is that Jesus is taking away the business of the church. When he could heal them freely, all the disciples leave these apostate church leaders. All the people come and hear Jesus Christ gladly. And that is what we pray our church may be, where the gospel is freely preached and we are not afraid of any force or power that will suppress the gospel. Now, why the Pharisees and the Jews were so keen about keeping the Sabbath, so strict about it? Today I must make you refer to the Bible 2 times. And the first section is Numbers 15, 30 to 36. Turn to Numbers 15. Verse 30. But the soul that doth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among the people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall be utterly cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. Verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathered sticks, brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and unto all the congregation. And they put him in the ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregations will stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died as the Lord commanded Moses. This man was stoned not because he picked up sticks and broke the law. Right introduction is he was very presumptuous. He despised the word of God. When the law was newly given in the desert, the Ten Commandments, on the Sabbath day, you must not labor, and not even your servants or maidservants, not even the cattle, must all have rest. If it were that we break the Sabbath, every one of us has to be stoned. And in the time of Nehemiah, they broke the Sabbath, they were not stoned. This man was stoned because when the law was just given, he despised. He acted presumptuously, very proud. He had despised the word of God. So we must take care how we regard God's word and commandment to us. I'm very happy for Dr. Jeffrey Poole's book that you received 1 or 2 weeks ago, Kept Pure in All Ages. And it defends a very important doctrine of the preservation of Scripture, that today we have this Bible and we can say this is a pure word of God. Because this is based on the received text of the church that has come down through the majority text, 5,000 copies agreeing. Now there's another school of texts that go against the main text, the majority text. And now all the modern translations of Scripture have deviated from the received text to the text of Westcott and Hort. So they despise the word of God and they lose. But when we regard the word of God highly, then we win. So it is not because they broke the Sabbath, because this man acted presumptuously and despised the word of God. So they interpret the Sabbath law mechanistically. Just the letter, if you break the Sabbath, well, you are damned. But they do not know that to every law there is always exceptions. Like a sign, no entry, but then there are exceptions. In the application of law, there is always certain allowances for this or for that. But they just stick to it, and they stick to it mechanistically, not regarding the spiritual side of it. But Jesus regarded the spiritual side. Surely this man who is sick cannot wait even 5 minutes. Oh, how happy he is that his hand can stretch forth. No more paralyzed. So he immediately healed them. Jesus regarded the law mercifully. He regarded those governed by this law with a loving heart. And so let us turn to another passage of Scripture, Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40. Matthew 22, verse 37 to verse 40. Jesus said to that lawyer, to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. But I tell you, there's another law The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This forms a perfect cross. God, the vertical line, neighbor, horizontal line. And in loving God and loving your neighbor, these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So you can give it in graph, a balance. On one side is the law of God. The other side is love. Love God and love a neighbor. On the love of God hangs all the law and prophets. So Jesus went about all the time doing good. It was not necessary for him to heal. But when he saw these people, his heart was full of compassion. And that constrained him to do overtime work day and night. Whoever came to him, he would not say nay. So when the Pharisees wanted to kill him, they held a council. What does the Bible say? Let us go back to the text. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Now when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. In the Gospel of Mark, it tells us that he went to the Sea of Galilee, and that when he visited the Holy Land, we saw a synagogue that was in the time of Jesus, or after, and not very far as the Sea of Galilee. And these Jews were in the synagogue watching him, trying to catch him. Since they would not obey him, he left. When we reject Jesus, we may lose all the blessings. So he withdrew with a crowd to the seaside, not very far away. And he healed them all. So this is a mass healing. And this might be exactly on the Sabbath day. It may be noontime that Jesus performed the miracle of healing the man who was paralyzed. Then when he was rejected, he withdrew to the seaside and then he healed every one of them. Healed them all. How wonderful is our Savior. Did he charge them any money? No. Now that's how we serve the Lord, in a spirit of humility to the best of our ability, that all may go on by the grace of God. And here is another lesson. For those who are quacks, charlatans, quack doctors, and they boast that they can do healing also, opening the eyes of the blind and making the lame to walk. This happened many years ago. I still remember the then Bishop of Singapore, Dr. Moses Tay. He wrote in the front line that a great evangelist is coming, and he will open the eyes and cause a lame to walk. Well, I was most interested. Although I did not go to the campaign, the fact is that none of them who came in the wheelchair could even stand up. There were no blind people up now. But when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, it is a true miracle that The people in those days would marvel that never in the history of mankind did we see such a thing. Jesus is a true doctor. There is an English proverb, good wine needs no bush. If you have good wine, you need not have the advertising, there's sheaves of the wine is made from certain things. You have no need of that to advertise. People will go. Jesus, the true doctor, he has no need of advertisement. That he charged them, do not make him known. How wonderful it is. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. He goes about doing good work, not for fame, not that he must strive so hard to heal somebody. He is God himself. He has power over everything. He created the world. So he comes humbly. The great man does not seek to be famous. He's famous already. And very interesting, he said, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Just now I explained to you, a crushed reed of a ruler, he will not break it, he will try to make it whole. The wick of a lamp, when the oil is going out, is flickering. He does not blow it out. It has a double meaning, maybe. When they come for healing to the Lord Jesus, they were sick in the body. And how they suffered. But the greater suffering is when they come to Jesus, there was a sickness of the soul, being burdened with sin. It is just like the flickering lamp going out. Spiritually speaking, about to perish. But Jesus healed them all, both body and soul. So you remember there was a man brought by four people, carried on bedding, and they could not go into the house where Jesus was, so they opened the rooftop and they let that man down. And Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. In order that to impress upon us that we need the healing was so much more important than our body. Again, the lawyers and the Pharisees made a noise. Who can forgive sins? Alright, to prove you that I can forgive sins, Jesus said, rise up and walk. And he was able to carry his bedding himself, and then he went out praising the Lord. There is a case of Mary Magdalene, possessed by seven devils. And one of the devils is a sex devil, you can be sure. It's not said. But Jesus never exposed her. And he cast out the devils. And Mary Magdalene became so obliged, so grateful to the Lord, that he's always number one in the list to serve him. Luke chapter 8, the beginning verses also tells of her. She was also at the death of Jesus Christ, beholding his crucifixion. And on the day of resurrection, she was the number one to bring the spices to go and anoint Jesus. See how wonderful it is. A bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench. May we have music, we'll sing this because it is very touching. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. Jesus will pardon, his mercy is great, his love for me is from end to end. Sometimes makes us so discouraged that you almost say, I want to die because the pain is unbearable. But the soul's diseases are much heavier. When Dr. John Sung went preaching all over China, and in my anniversary letter to you, I included a John Sung 5-sermon booklet. And I rotate, because they are all together 40 sermons. And I can still remember when he came to Singapore, he spoke to us that we are the very one who has the withered hand. We are the very one who is carried by four persons. We are those lost in sin and misery. And don't you want to get out of the misery of the soul? Because he attacks sin and he offered the free salvation. Anyone who comes to Jesus, call on his name, just call on his name, just be repentant and look to him, and you will be saved. Therefore, the crowds came. In Singapore, there were about 2,000 who were wonderfully born again. And this morning, Jesus Christ is here, and he is the same yesterday, today, forever. Anyone lost in sin, in the misery of sin, and you cannot resolve it yourself, just humbly come to him and bow your head and say, Lord, that's right. I pray that here, this church, is a place where the gospel, free and powerful, will be heard and will be received. You know the Lord is coming very near. So I happily, the Lord led me to write the booklet. It is nearer than you think. After Life Church came, our theme was
hasting unto the coming of the day of God. And when I came back, I began to look at history and into the future. I found that there was only 21 years of peace between the First World War and the Second World War, which broke out in 1939. And the First World War ended in 1918. Then the end of the Second World War, 1945, to this day, is 56 years. Then I said, why? We have never had it so good. Maybe troublous times are coming. I didn't know about September 11, but I wrote the title, "It's Nearer Than You Think." And it happened. So many people want to read that booklet. But I tell you, after reading that booklet, you'll forget. Singapore is going to recover in 2 years. Well, do the best. And you have a fun, we have a pleasure. But it is nearer than you think, because we soon forget it. This war is harder than previous wars, fighting against these terrorists, fighting against germ warfare, fighting against a nuclear release of power, if they can do it. All foretold in the Bible. But they may forget. What are you living for? Jeremiah told his secretary Baruch, he had been preaching, like, war is coming, and then it was really coming in a matter of months. And he said, don't think of making a million. Don't think of great things. Seek the Lord. And we have no way of escape except to go up. No defense on earth against nuclear bombs, against germ warfare. And according to the Bible, we will be raptured, taken up to heaven at the blowing of the last trumpet, or the seventh trumpet. But the blowing of the sixth trumpet is Third World War breaking out in Iraq. Revelation chapter 9, Revelation chapter 16, you go and refer. With the war in Afghanistan and Iraq just next door, but one. And they even discuss the vice president of Iraq, Tariq Aziz, mentioned that America would like to bomb us. He already revealed a premonition. It's nearer than you think. That's why it's good to serve the Lord with our savings, with our money, with our many prospects, and the Lord has preserved our congregation so that very few are affected by the downturn and sacking from the job. The best thing is to be involved in God's work. First of all, is to accept Christ as Savior. Secondly, is to try to serve Him in one way or another. And says, I will preserve your life. What is better than life? During the Second World War, all those big shots became poor. All those highly educated lawyers and so forth had no job. They walk about counting the milestones, if you say. So the Lord Jesus Christ is here, as He was in Galilee, healing the man with the paralyzed arm, that he was able to stretch out, and he healed them all, bringing them life everlasting. Look to Him and turn away from your own scheme today. Let us pray. Most Holy Father, we thank Thee that our Lord Jesus Christ is here, and He is willing to save to the uttermost anyone that will call upon Him, not only in the body, but also in the spirit. You are here to bless us. Help us, O Lord, to come to Thee in repentance and in fullness of faith. We ask all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.